Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Tomorrow's the 4th of July. How are you planning to celebrate? Down in D.C., the president's preparing a big event. It's got speech, tanks, and Air Force flyover at the National Mall. Listeners, we want to hear how you celebrate the 4th and how you think about the holiday. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet at us, at Radio Boston. We're going to begin this conversation by talking to Congressman Jim McGovern. He represents Massachusetts' 2nd District. He chairs the House Rules Committee, and he joins us on the line now. Congressman McGovern, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Happy to be with you.
Congressman, how are you going to celebrate the 4th of July?
Well, I'm marching in the Rutland 4th of July parade, which I do every year. It's a big event in central Massachusetts, and I'm going to be at a pancake breakfast before that, and then later in the day I'm going to have a cookout with my family.
So you're going to get community time and family time.
Absolutely. You know, the 4th of July is a time where we celebrate our shared values, and that's what makes what Donald Trump is doing so disheartening and so disappointing. I mean, he's not only politicizing the 4th of July, he's militarizing it, and at a tremendous cost to the taxpayers, but I guess it complements his ego, and so that's why he's doing it.
Congressman, what would you say to people who say, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with a president loving his country and wanting to celebrate it?
Well, there's nothing wrong with a president loving his country, but he's not celebrating it. He's turning it into a political event. The Republican National Committee has tickets to give out to big donors, so they all have front row seats. And he's doing something that authoritarian regimes do, and that is he's putting on full display, you know, our military might, our tanks, and our weaponry. I mean, that's not what we expect to happen in the nation's capital on the 4th of July. You expect that in Russia, you expect that in militaristic authoritarian regimes, but not here in the United States.
Congressman McGovern, what does Independence Day mean to you? How do you think about and want to be celebrating the holiday?
Well, to me, it's about celebrating our shared values.
What are those in your mind?
I mean, it's freedom, it's justice, it's respect, it's dignity. It's all the things that went into the founding of this country, and so that's what makes us great. It's a time for us to also acknowledge the men and women who have sacrificed so that our freedoms and our protections and our values can be, are still with us. And those are the men and women who serve in our military, but also those who have fought for justice in this country throughout its history.
Listeners, we're talking about the 4th of July with Congressman Jim McGovern. Congressman, one of our colleagues here at BUR, Ariel Gray, had a piece this morning in which she said she actually doesn't celebrate the 4th. She argues that the freedoms promised by the revolution are out of reach for many, especially poor people and communities of color. What's your reaction to that?
Well, that's she's right. I mean, we're not finished. We're a experiment that is still evolving, and my hope is that with every passing year, we get better. There are lots of people in this country who have been left behind, who have been forgotten. There are lots of people, unfortunately, who politicians in Washington look on as if they're invisible. So there's much that needs to be done. But we were born in a revolution, and a revolution is ongoing, and we need to continue to strive, so that we reach the promise of our ideals and our values. And so I don't disagree, but I do want to say that this is a country that has achieved a lot, and we still have a long way to go.
You actually tweeted a reminder today that this week marks the 55th anniversary of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. You talked about fighting injustice and oppression in that tweet. What's the most important fight today against injustice and oppression in your mind?
Well, I think... there are so many things that we need to do, but I think this is at this particular moment we need to stand up to the intolerance and the bigotry and the hate that's emanating from this White House. We have racism is still a huge problem in this country. It's systemic in so many respects. We have people who are, who are homeless. We have people who are hungry. I co-chair the House Hunger Caucus. There are 40 million Americans who don't know where the next meal is going to come from. That's an injustice. We I mean, women still do not have full equality in this country. They get paid less than men do, for doing the same work. I mean, there are lots of things that we need to do. But I feel we're at a moment where kind of the worst elements of our past are getting boosted up by the man who sits in the White House. And I regret that very much. That's why, when we talk about celebrating the 4th of July, I mean, I the idea that we're focusing in on tanks and weapon systems seems to me to undercut what really the true meaning of the 4th should be about.
Other countries do use military machinery in their parades and to celebrate their countries, even other democracies. I'm curious, do you think America needs to be different than that?
I do. I want us to be different than that. I mean, I don't think our goodness and our greatness is in our tanks or in our weapon systems. I think the goodness of this country is in the people. And when I see these parades of military hardware on display, I think of countries like Russia. I think of China. I think of authoritarian, dictatorships. I don't think of the United States. I don't want us to be like them. That's why I cringe every time I hear the president talk about how he wants to not only politicize the 4th, but he wants to militarize it as well.
Congressman, you've told us you're going to spend the end of the day tomorrow with your family. Will you watch any part of the Salute to America, or will you watch the Boston Pops and the fireworks? Will you watch any of that?
I will probably watch the Boston Pops and Keith Lockhart and the fireworks. I'm glad I'm not in Washington tomorrow because again, what I think is this should be remembered during this holiday is not what the president is going to put on display tomorrow.
That's Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern. Congressman McGovern, thanks for being with us on Radio Boston, and happy 4th.
You too. Thank you.
Let's bring two more people in to talk about the 4th now. Kimberly Atkins is WBUR senior news correspondent. She joins us from Washington, D.C. Kimberly, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi there. Good to talk to you.
Thanks. We're also joined by Heather Cox Richardson. She's a professor of history at Boston College and author of To Make Men Free, A History of the Republican Party. Heather, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Listeners, let's hear from you. How do you celebrate the 4th? What do you think of President Trump's Salute to America in Washington? Are you going to watch it? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We'd love to hear from you. Kimberly, let's talk about the plans for the President's Salute to America event tomorrow. What is different about what's going to happen tomorrow than past 4th of July celebrations in D.C.?
Yeah, so there are a lot of things that the White House is promoting under this umbrella of Salute to America, and some of which are very controversial. But as you said, some of these things happen every year. Every year, of course, there is a fireworks display over the Potomac. Every year, the National Symphony Orchestra plays in front of the Capitol and plays things, patriotic music, and there are celebrities that come and do readings about the country, and it's a real celebration of the 4th of July. But there are new things. Usually the president does not give an address the way that President Trump will do tomorrow at the Lincoln Memorial. Usually there is not a VIP section that will be at the front of the Lincoln Memorial where folks who are supporters of the Trump campaign and others get sort of front row seats to this. And that's what's drawing the controversy. People saying that this has the feel more of a campaign rally for a president running for re-election than for an open, public, nonpartisan celebration of the country. And of course, we will have a lot of military equipment that has been brought in to Washington, D.C. over the past day or so from various parts of the country, which is also really controversial.
So there is kind of a thud factor to the size and scope of the military equipment. Do we know how much this is going to cost and who's paying for it?
We don't. The president tweeted saying that it's not going to cost as much as it's worth. That's not really a dollar figure that we can hang our hats on. We do know that millions of dollars were $2.5 million was transferred from the National Park Service from their funds that come from fees that folks pay when they visit the national parks. It's supposed to go to upkeeping those national parks, but it's going to go to this effort as well. But the estimates, experts are saying that that money is only a drop in the bucket of the cost that it will take to put this on, that the president is actually wrong, saying that because we already own this equipment and we already have the pilots, et cetera, that it won't be extra money. It takes a great deal of money to move this equipment, to have the manpower on hand, to have folks working and operating this stuff. So it'll be some time later that the final tally will come in.
So, Kimberly, you mentioned this VIP section that will be up near where the president is speaking. There are multiple outlets reporting that the Republican National Committee, the RNC, received tickets to this VIP section for tomorrow's event from the White House to distribute. Is that normal?
Well, look, have there been other events that have involved the parties or that the party that is in control of the White House having a hand in? Yes, of course. I mean, the most obvious would be the inauguration. Of course, there are VIP folks right at the front to see the president, and it's usually supporters of that president. There's the Easter egg hunt where parties from both parties have had access and to tickets to get to see that event. But there's a different feel about a 4th of July celebration of the country, especially when you add all these elements that are things that Donald Trump has already expressed a fondness for, a desire for, things like a big military parade, which he couldn't have. He can have the equipment just sort of present and stationed around. And that's giving it more of a feel that this is, even if it's not technically breaking a rule, it's very unseemly and makes it seem more like a rally than an open, nonpartisan celebration.
So listeners, in a minute, we're going to turn to historian Heather Cox Richardson, who can also help us kind of get a sense for what's traditional, what's different. But we want to invite you into this conversation as well. So call in at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And tell us what you think about 4th of July celebrations. Carmen from Hyde Park, tell us what's on your mind.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So the 4th of July means different things for me as an African-American in this country. I think it has a lot of historical painfulness, if that's a word. So I really want to delve in and find out more about Frederick Douglass and his speech on July 4th and just kind of like think about history as it means to Americans and as myself as a Black person in America.
Thanks, Carmen. And actually, that gives us a wonderful opportunity to turn to you, Heather. Tell us about what you know about Frederick Douglass's speech from the mid-1800s and its significance around the 4th of July.
Well, what Frederick Douglass was up to when he gave that wonderful speech was to say that to an African-American, and I think you can expand it to people of color and to women as well, the 4th of July didn't mean the same thing it did to white men, because to white men it was, in fact, a declaration of human equality. But it was a declaration of human equality that excluded, actually, the majority of Americans. And he, of course, being such a phenomenal orator, was the person to put that into words. What Frederick Douglass was doing, and I think it's really important to remember at this moment, is taking a stock of what the American Revolution and what the Declaration of Independence was all about. And I think it's really important, after listening to Representative McGovern talk about, well, yes, lots of people have been excluded and all that, that is very true. But what was really astonishing about the Declaration of Independence, and what the reason it remains a radical document, an earth-shattering document, is because it was the first time in modern history that people got together and said, all men are created equal. We can create a government in which every person has a voice. Now, because of their era and because of their prejudices and their biases, they couldn't see women at all in that equation, and they certainly couldn't see African Americans, and they couldn't see Native Americans, and they couldn't see a lot of people from other countries. But they got the principle that you did not have to belong to some caste in society, that you weren't a serf or a noble or a king, that in fact everybody could be equal. And so when we celebrate the 4th of July, we celebrate that principle that everybody could be equal. And that is really important to hang on to at a time when that concept, as Vladimir Putin said last week, is very much under attack. You know, he said this whole concept is wrong. It needs to be flushed out, and we need to it's obsolete. We need to create a new kind of human government. That's not true. That concept that humans should be and can be equal is the one on which America is founded. And it is indeed, as Lincoln said, one of the better angels of our nature.
Heather, with that context, let's turn back to our listeners and take some more calls. Joe from Reading, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, I'd like to urge everybody listening to pray for rain tomorrow in Washington to interrupt this ridiculous thing that a president is doing to make up for his bone spurs. He wants to have everybody salute him. And now he's going to parade military vehicles like they do in Russia and China and North Korea. What made America great is not our military. It's the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the kind of democracy that we have that Russia is attacking and the president denies is attacking.
What makes America great? Joe, let me ask you, though. Don't our soldiers and our military also make us great? Aren't they a part of the picture of what is America?
That isn't what makes us great. That can protect us, yeah. But there are military governments all over the world that do this. North Korea, they have one of the biggest armies in the world. Does that make them great? No. And the poor soldiers could have had a day off, or that money could be spent to help them. And instead, it's all so they can salute the commander-in-chief.
Joe, thanks so much for that call. And you raise an important point. A former Navy officer mentioned to me today that normally people who were not essential military personnel or deployed would actually have the day off tomorrow and would be able to be with their families. I want to take one more call. Jay from Roxbury, thanks for calling. Tell us what's on your mind.
I believe the country is now being run by a small businessman who's small-minded, and he's using resources that he has access to excessively. And his bankruptcy proves this also. He's somebody who's not grown into the slot that he's obtained by dubious means, and I think that this is an illustration of it, and people should oppose him.
Jay, thanks.
He's misusing the resources of the country for his own aggrandizement.
Thanks for that call. Kimberly, I'm going to turn to you on Jay's comment in just a second, but I want to add one more caller in first. Freddie from Sharon, tell us what's on your mind. Freddie, do we still have you? All right, Kimberly, let's turn to you here. We do use taxpayer money and government money for celebrations at other times of the year, do we not?
We do. We do do celebrations around things like the 4th of July, Memorial Day, and other things. And I just want to make a note to the caller's point that even before this, certainly the military has been a part of 4th of July celebrations. We always see the presentation of the colors and members of the military being saluted at the 4th of July and other celebrations. So they're a part of it. One of the criticisms, though, is that having what the president really wanted were tanks rolling on the streets of Washington, D.C. That idea was nixed for a lot of reasons, one of which was fear that it really would destroy the streets of Washington, D.C. If you've ever driven here, it's hard enough to maneuver a Honda around, let alone a massive
tank.
70-ton tank. So
yeah,
that
fair
just
enough.
Wasn't feasible. But, you know, last year I traveled to China and I went to places like Tiananmen Square. And aside from the really strong feeling of the oppression of the press there, what's the lasting image about Tiananmen Square? It's that tank that rolled through the streets and the man who stood in front of it. It really became the symbol of the authoritative regime that folks don't really want America to represent, particularly on a day that we are celebrating America. And I think that vision is what gets to the heart of this controversy.
So historian Heather Cox Richardson, we've heard some real concern from our callers around both the authoritarian symbols and also the kind of what sounds like the concerns are self-serving or partisanship in this event tomorrow. But has the 4th ever really been apolitical in American history? Can we argue that?
Well, the fourth has been used in the past by local people, local parties, to reinforce the idea that they embody American values. So, for example, that their party is more about equality than another party. Presidents don't tend to use the 4th of July for a number of reasons. In the 19th century, everybody got out of Washington because it was too hot. And by the time that you were
very
really
practical
able to,
concern, right?
Exactly, yes. Well, actually, those sorts of things matter a lot for the way our government was set up. But after World War II, when you actually had the air conditioning to make that possible, the presidents really understood that what America stood for was this concept of human equality. And the last thing they were going to celebrate during the 4th of July was anything but that. And I think the reason people are responding the way they are now to this particular thing, and mind you, I actually love military hardware and things like that. I go to see military hardware. That's not the issue. I'm a historian. Some of us like that sort of thing. The issue is having that hardware on display at a time when it in fact does represent things like the Chinese government, the North Korean government, or the Russian government. At the time we have a president who shows how much he likes those authoritarian regimes, is always praising them, to have those things coming together at the Lincoln Memorial, because the Lincoln Memorial, since 1939, when it was fairly new and people began really to pay attention to it, the Lincoln Memorial, beginning in 1939, started to be a symbol of the place where Americans gathered to talk about equality. In April of that year, Marian Anderson was a very famous opera singer. She was African-American, and she was not allowed to speak in Constitution Hall by the Daughters of the American Revolution. So Eleanor Roosevelt moved that concert to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And ever since then, that's where you go when you want to address inequalities in American society and reinforce the idea that what makes us great is our people. So to have a president who admires authoritarian governments, use authoritarian symbols on what is normally a bipartisan day at that venue is really, really horrific to a lot of people.
Listeners, add your voices here. Call us in. Call in to us. Let us know, how do you celebrate the 4th? Are you among those looking forward to the salute to America tomorrow? Will you watch? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Lori from Roslindale is on the line. Lori, tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I think at this point, I'd like to underscore what your expert just said. It's been my sense that we're slipping into totalitarianism, especially after what we learned about the camps week, and see Trump encouraging racism and anti-Semitism, anti-Muslim sentiments. So the idea of military vehicles and a reserved section for Trump supporters actually reminds me a little bit of Animal Farm, and it makes this totalitarian concern even more strong in my eyes. And I just want to say a remark about the fellow who talked about veterans. I worked in the VA for several years, and, you know, the veterans need to be honored for, especially combat veterans, for what they've seen and done and how they did it for us. And I don't think a display of military might is the right tone at all. So
Lori,
thank you for taking my call.
Lori, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. I appreciate it. WBUR senior correspondent Kimberly Atkins, we're hearing a lot about the military. What have you heard, if anything, from military representatives about the celebration tomorrow? Are you? Yeah. Please jump in.
Well, the Pentagon has officially said that, first of all, the Department of Defense was given some of these VIP tickets at the Lincoln Memorial. I think it was important for the White House to want to have military folks there. It is unclear at this point how many folks are going. There is some reporting that this has made some military officials very uncomfortable. And being there and being a part of that is not necessarily what all of them want to do. As you've pointed out, this also would normally have been a very valuable day off for a lot of folks. But officially, the military is behind this. The Defense Department is behind these plans and doing their best to organize the logistics of getting this equipment in particular to the sites that the president wants them.
I think we've got time for one more call. Sam from New Hampshire, we're glad you called. Tell us what's on your mind.
Hi, I just wanted to call and say that I will be watching the parade come the 4th. not many things can take me away from being outside and barbecuing on the 4th, but I just think it's a good symbol of the sort of engineering and what we can build as a country, military wise. And I don't know, I take pride in it. So I'll be watching it on tomorrow.
Sam, thanks so much for that call. Heather Cox Richardson. Sam says, wait a minute, the military equipment and the other things that we're going to be featured are part of what demonstrates our scientific accomplishment, our American ingenuity. What's your reaction to Sam's call?
My reaction is that I wish him a good 4th, first of all, but that what we really should be celebrating on the 4th of July is this extraordinary concept of a country in which everybody gets to have a say in their government. And a lot of people are talking about not participating in the 4th of July because of this event or flying flags upside down. And I say no. Take that flag back. If America to you is about people of all backgrounds and all classes and all races working together to do things like build Sherman tanks, although those, of course, have not been built since the 1950s, but building technologies that can take us to a post-carbon future, or that can make sure we don't have homeless veterans, or that can take us to Mars, if that's your thing. If you really believe that everybody has a right to say in their to have a say in their government, and that the world is better if Americans work together, take that flag back. Let's build that country back up again, and then we can take out our tanks and the things that we have invented together and celebrate them. I think saying that the 4th of July is washed up and we should just hand it over to President Trump and the RNC at this point and walk away gives the wrong message for the guy who's going to be sitting in that throne in his memorial behind Donald Trump tomorrow, who brought the country together to take back democracy and to create an America that could become the great nation it did after Abraham Lincoln gave his speech in 1863.
So, Kimberly, recognizing Heather's point, nonetheless, just like the caller we heard, a lot of people will be excited and interested. Do we have a sense of how many people are going to attend the event tomorrow on the National Mall?
Yeah, I have not seen any estimates of how many people will come. And there are different events at different parts of the city. But I think it is important to note that lots of people go to see the fireworks, to see the National Symphony Orchestra, to see all of the fanfare on the 4th of July, the nation's birthday, in the nation's capital. It's a destination. So I think we will see a lot of people going, in a very nonpartisan way, regardless of what the controversy surrounding the president's plans are.
That is WBUR senior correspondent Kimberly Atkins. Kimberly, thanks for being with us today.
Always a pleasure.
And Heather Cox Richardson, professor of history at Boston College and author of To Make Men Free, A History of the Republican Party. Thanks so much for being with us on Radio Boston.
It's always a pleasure.
Stay with us. Coming up, we are going to look for that perfect summer cocktail for your weekend festivities. We'll try two delicious tiki drinks on for size. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.